Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of...
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. We're in our seventh year. And also, hello to our newest listening audience on Rapture Ready Radio. Also, we have a YouTube channel. And we have had over 2 million hits on our YouTube channel. Praise the Lord. God does bring people our way. And many, many thousands of listeners here on Blog Talk Radio. So we want to thank God for bringing hungry hearts to our radio broadcast, because we try to minister to you the Word of God in all truth, and we need the truth more than ever today, don't we? We really do, because as you can see when you turn on television, and even if you watch the secular media, yikes, what a mess out there, right? And then you turn on what they call Christian, and it doesn't really resemble Christianity the way that Jesus taught us. And so we all have Bibles, and we're all responsible for reading our Bibles and for knowing what the truth is, and then to have fellowship with people that are like-minded, and not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Amen? That's what we don't want to do. We want to stay close to the Lord. And so I guess maybe I should make a little comment about politics, right? What a nutty election. Expect anything to happen. I mean, expect anything to happen here during this presidential election. But whether you vote or not, that's up to you, really. And I know for myself, really, I look at it as a kind of a Ahab and Jezebel, let's put it this way, on the other side, okay? I'm not defending the comments that Mr. Trump made. Of course, they were awful. But let's see how this thing pans out as far as if there's evidence of wrongdoing in actions, then put that out there. But when you have a Jezebel who believes in baby killing, with no regard for human life up until the ninth month of life, and then on the platform, the Democratic platform, is the they want to repeal the Hyde Amendment, which the Hyde Amendment took away the public funding for abortion, so they no longer use taxpayer dollars to fund people's abortions. Now, why in the world would I have to be required to fund somebody's abortion? It's bad enough that the government wants us to pay for other people's health care, and then we have to pay for people to have babies. We have to help support people's families now, like we're becoming a welfare state whether I want to or not, and I don't want to. I think it's up to me to decide who I'm going to donate to. I don't want somebody coming and just picking my pocket and saying I have to give these people some money because they decided they and we're going to get married and start families and they want to go to college. Well, I don't really care. Okay. I have enough problems of my own over here that I'm trying to figure out, and I don't really need yours. And so I think that we have to take personal responsibility and quit being the entitlement society. So it all goes to the direction. What direction do we really want this country to go in? Only God knows. I mean, I don't know what's in anybody's heart. And so let's look at Psalm 75, because Psalm 75 says some interesting things here. And Psalm 75, verse 7, "But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is full of mixture, and he poureth out of the same. But the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. But I will declare forever, I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked also will I cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted." So, also, remember the story of Esther. And if you look at the story of Esther, see, Haman, Esther, and if you read the book of Esther and you look at especially chapter 7, Haman had prepared a gallows for Mordecai. Well, remember what happened to Haman when he prepared a gallows for Mordecai? He hung on his own gallows. Okay, so you better be careful what you do and how you do things. Also, in I just read this article on Got News, and the article said that actually the state of California is a you have to consent to be recorded. Your audio, you have to give consent. You can't record audio secretly and then release it. It's against the law. So it's kind of like these gotcha moments. And but then again, you have to be careful what you say. It may come back to haunt you one day. Also, of course, for us Christians, we know that what we've done in the past before Christ, that doesn't matter as far as our life. But when you're born again and then you put yourself out in the public, now for us, okay, because I'm not saying Donald Trump's born again. I doubt seriously that he is. But for us that have been born again, then we are held to a higher standard, especially if we have any kind of public ministry or whatever. We have to be careful what we say, what we write, because those things can come back to haunt us. I had a friend tell me one time, be careful what you put in a letter. And sure enough, you can write a letter to somebody and you think it's going to be confidential, and they'll take that letter and they'll use it against you one day when they're angry at you. It's just the way people are, saved or unsaved. People that you offend sometimes, they want to get revenge. So we see that happening a lot. And when you're talking about power, you're talking about tremendous power when you're talking about presidential elections. You're talking about extreme wealth, extreme power, extreme fame. All those things go along with the office. You're talking about globalism. You're talking about the New World Order. You're talking about so many things that get wrapped up in a presidential election. So it's not only what people say, it's what people do, what their actions are. And so we'll see what happens, because no matter what happens from now until Election Day, I believe that God is in control, and he will put one up and he will take one down. He will do what he thinks is best in the long run for us. Who knows what's going to happen? God only knows. But we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We put our trust in God. And we pray for these people. So we'll see what happens. It's interesting. I've never seen anything quite like this in my life. And also, when you think about it's kind of odd, too, when you think about the Republican Party, and instead of rallying around their candidate, they're all bailing. And so it really says something about this whole idea of this two-party system. And it's a very strange thing to watch, really. Nothing quite like it. But anyway, it kind of goes into the whole thing with when you look at the preachers of today. And now these people, to me, are a lot worse than any of these politicians, because the preachers, and we're going to talk today about Rod Parsley and he's running his atonement scam. And because Rod Parsley, to me, is a very despicable character, very despicable. And now he's raising up his daughter, Ashton, who looks to me like she's having a nervous breakdown because she can't decide which hair color she wants. She has purple hair one day. She has green hair another day. She has blue hair, pink hair. This poor girl, she can't decide really where her mind is at, because realize now, a lot of these children that grow up in these households with these televangelists, they wind up either on drugs, or they wind up losing their mind, or they wind up not serving God because they see the hypocrisy of it all. Now, she lives with her father. So I think she lives in the same house as her father. So she sees Rod as he really is, when he's not in the platform. And he must have gone to acting school to develop this accent that he has, because I think he said one time he's from the hills of Kentucky or something, the backwoods or something. So they don't have the kind of accent he has, but he must have gone to some Hollywood drama class or something. And she lives with this guy, so she knows how he talks when he's at home. And then he gets up in front of the congregation and he takes on this persona. He becomes Dr. Rod Parsley. And he takes his power very seriously. He realizes that that's his little kingdom over there. And he rules that kingdom. And he manipulates those people at will over there. They do just about anything he asks them to do. If he asks them to stand up, they stand up. Sit down, they sit down. Kneel down, they kneel down. Run up here with offerings, they run up there with offerings. Dance. Whatever he wants them to do, he just has to snap his fingers and they do whatever he wants. Now, he takes that power very seriously because he realizes that he does have power over these people, and he uses that power that he has over the people there at World Harvest, and he also has a Bible college, and those poor kids over there at that Bible college, yikes, I feel sorry for them. Imagine going to Bible school at Rod Parsley's place. Now, he calls it Valor Christian College. There's no valor going on there, because actually for instance, why would any parent, any good Christian parent, want to send their child there to Bible college? Like, what kind of Bible are you learning? You're learning, there's no such thing as an atonement offering. There's no such thing. Jesus Christ walked on the earth for 33 years, and please show me one scripture where anybody ever brought him an atonement offering. Where is that? Where did anybody ever come up to Jesus Christ while he walked the earth, and it was Rosh Hashanah or it was Passover or whatever it was, and they walked up to Jesus, and Rod and Steve Muncy are telling you, don't come before God empty-handed, but I say, don't come before God empty-headed. That's what I say. Don't come before God empty-headed, because nobody came to Jesus Christ with an atonement offering. Nobody did it. Nobody. Nobody walked up to Jesus and said, now, Jesus, you know, it's Passover, it's Rosh Hashanah, whatever, and I can't come before you empty-handed, so I'm coming here, and I'm going to stand before you, Jesus, and I have in my hand, Jesus, I have in one hand. Now, they tell you, now, take your two hands now, and Rod talks to you like you're about a two-year-old, and he says, okay, now, come now, little children, and in one hand, put $100 bill, and then in the other hand, put $100 bill, and take it before God. Now, seriously, how do grown people, well-dressed people that go over there to church on Sunday, and they go over there on Wednesday, I think, for the midweek service, but anyway, how do these people go over there during the week and on Sunday, well-dressed, and they get up in the morning, and they comb their hair, and they get dressed up, and they drive over there? Now, how do they take any of this stuff seriously? Really, come on. Where's their mind? Where's their mind? Where's their Bible? Why do they follow this man? Why do they believe anything he has to say? Because there's very little truth. Once in a while, some truth comes out of his mouth when he quotes a scripture. But most of the time, all he does is lie. That's all he does. He just continually lies to support his lifestyle. And Rod Parsley, really, if you ever listen to this broadcast, please, come on. I invite you to come on. You can call in anytime you like. And please show me one scripture in the Bible where God Almighty himself ever demanded that anyone put a $100 bill in each hand and stand before him. Please stop. Just stop it. To me, that's more despicable than anything, is to take Jesus Christ and his atonement, his death on the cross, his blood shed for us, and make a mockery of it. I don't know. And also, Rod Parsley, you just had throat cancer. You just had throat cancer. And cancer is a funny thing now. Cancer is a funny thing because cancer hides usually. They say most people that I ever knew with cancer, if they had cancer and they go for chemo and radiation and whatever, and then the doctors tell you, oh, no more cancer, there's no more cancer. Usually within 2 years, about 2 years, it comes back somewhere. Now, this is most people, not everybody, but most people that I know personally, that's what happened to them. So if it was me, and I had throat cancer, and I went through months of torture, and I couldn't talk for 6 months, and I was laying down flat on a sick bed, I would certainly be seeking the Lord. But not Rod, no. He comes back more arrogant than ever, and he comes back and says that now he has a greater, 7 times greater anointing on his life. Rod Parsley doesn't have any anointing on his life because he's not saved. He's not saved. No. No, he's not safe. Safe people don't act like that. Safe people don't act like reprobates. They don't act like reprobates. They don't stand up there and tell people that you have to put a $100 bill. And even he tells people to put $1,000 in their hands, $1,000. And then he tells people, and you'll hear it. You'll hear the audio I'm going to play. He tells people they'll get healed. They'll get healed. How many thousands of dollars did he have to pay? How many thousands of dollars did he have to pay? He even claims that he gave out of his own pocket. Now listen to this. He gave out of his own pocket a $100,000 offering a few years ago when his son was diagnosed with autism. Asperger's, a form of autism. He claims, Rod Parsley, that he brought a $100,000 offering, but where did he give it? He didn't give it to some poor family. No, he brought it to the church. He brought it to the church and laid it on and gave it to himself. And then he brags about it. I gave a $100,000 seed for my son's healing. When did anybody that knew Jesus, when he walked on the earth and he went about doing good to everybody that asked him, and he went about doing good and nobody had to pay him, nobody was bringing him any offerings? Oh, please. These people are biblical illiterates. Who are those people over there that call themselves Bible college presidents over there at Rod Parsley's? You're a Bible college president? You have a PhD or a THD or whatever you have over there, some of these men that are leading this Bible college, and this is the way you teach the Bible? What? I don't have a PhD or a THD or a bachelor's. I don't even have a bachelor's degree, but I have a Bible, and I know enough to read it and to know that there is no scriptural basis for this foolishness that you're teaching over there. You better close that place down. Well, if you don't close that place down, I'll tell you what, God Almighty himself will close it down. God Almighty himself will close it down. Just wait and see. What do you think's happening to TBN right now? Jan's Mansion is for sale. You can find it on Zillow or one of these real estate websites. I think it's One Neptune Way or something, Newport Beach. Her house, it's selling for over $5 million. Now, it was alleged by Jan's granddaughter, Brittany, that her grandpa, Paul Crouch Sr., and her grandma, Jan Crouch, never lived together. Well, they lived in separate houses, which you could see both mansions are for sale. Paul Crouch's mansion was sold, and you could look that up on the internet and see his mansion. He had a huge $5 million mansion that he lived in, and now Jan's mansion is up for sale. It's over a $5 million mansion, so they had separate mansions. They didn't live together. They have owned many, many properties throughout the country. But Matt is selling off the properties, and the property there in Costa Mesa, the big TBN studio there, is empty. There's no furniture inside there anymore. It's empty, and they are putting that place up for sale. So they're selling their assets. They had a yard sale in Orlando a few months ago. Warehouses full of merchandise that Jan had. So they're selling off their assets. And then there was someone on YouTube the other day that was talking about God TV, Wendy and Rory Alec. Of course, Rory ran off with another woman, and he hasn't been back there to the network that he started. But supposedly, according to this man, now I haven't checked this out, but this is, he lives in England, so he's familiar with what's going on there, and he claims that he's in contact with someone there that works for the ministry, and that they haven't been paying their bills, and they haven't been paying their bills in Jerusalem at the studio they started there, and supposedly they were kicked out of their studio. So a lot of these people are starting to lose money, because when you think about all the people that used to be on TBN doing the telethons, now they don't do telethons anymore on TBN. So all the con artists, Mike Murdoch, Steve Muncy, Juanita Bynum, John Avanzini, you know, all the professional telethon people, well, they're out of a job over there. So they're losing income. A lot of these so-called ministries are losing income. Of course, they still have income because they're still on television, and it's very expensive to be on television. But there was an article the other day I read, and it sounds like it could be true, that within 10 years, broadcast television, people won't be watching so much TV at home. They'll be watching on the internet or looking for alternatives that aren't as costly. So that's why you'll see a lot of these so-called ministries starting to dump assets. And Matt Crouch supposedly is making a film, or helping to make a film. Now, would you watch a film about Randy White's life? And I remember Randy White, he was married to Paula White, and he filed for bankruptcy, his church did, in 2014, and the two so-called mega churches that he built were both bulldozed. They both went into foreclosure, and they were bulldozed. So, now, do you want to watch a documentary about his life? Well, he claims that he's going to be doing a reality show on the internet. He just signed up with some social media people, and he wants to do a reality show. Now he claims that TBN is making a movie about some toxic waste in Fort Detrick, I think it is, which, of course, I know that there is toxic waste out there. And so that story is true, but I don't really want to watch a movie about Randy White. Who does, really? But these people, they have this grandiose idea about themselves, because they've managed to sear their conscience and have... they can't hear God anymore, because we know as born again believers, we know that when we sin, right? When we sin, God tells us that we sin. We are convicted of sin. If you are no longer being convicted of sin, then something is wrong. Something is very, very wrong. And if you could stand up there, you stand up there on a Sunday morning with a Bible in your hand, yet, and then you're saying how much you love Jesus, and it's like Paula White the other day. She says, "I used to spend 10 to 12 hours a day secluded, worshiping the Lord." Now, who does that? Do you? I mean, honestly, come on. Now, is there anybody out there? Please send me an email. Send me an email, susan@propheticnews.com. Is there anybody out there that you did nothing for 10 to 12 hours a day except praise God? There's no human being. I don't know of anybody that's ever done that. No, I don't know of anybody. And that really, to be honest with you, that doesn't make you any holier than anybody else, even if you did do that, because it's wonderful to worship the Lord, it's wonderful to praise God, but we do need His Word, we need to know His Word, we need to be truth tellers of His Word. So I don't care how much time Paula White claims that she spent for months on end, 10 to 12 hours a day before the Lord, and then she came out as a dunce, as a stupid person who doesn't know the scriptures. And, that didn't happen. That's a lie. That didn't happen. Nobody, that claims that they spent 10 to 12 hours a day with the Lord, worshiping the Lord, comes out and then tells you to send $100 or $1,000 to buy a miracle. No, that doesn't happen. And these people need to get saved. They need to get saved. And we need to tell them that they need to get saved or they need to get another job. Please go somewhere else and work. If you need money, go somewhere else and get a job. Because most of these people now, they've made enough money. They have enough money. They can retire and they can leave Jesus alone. They can leave the kingdom of God alone. But they realize that there's big money in telling people they can get things from God, especially prosperity, because now human nature, which we're still working things out in our flesh, because you can go to Galatians and you can read about the works of the flesh. We're still working out the works of the flesh. We're still working that stuff out. Yeah. And so they realize, now this is one area where they do have some smarts. They realize that they can tell you when you're desperate for something. And they realize that people are out there and they're desperate. And they can say, well, look, I'm anointed, so send some money. I'm going to put it on the altar. He's going to have this thing at his church Wednesday night, I think. He's going to have it live over the internet, Rod Parsley, and he's going to stand in the Garden of Gethsemane or whatever he has over there, and he's going to take your prayer requests, and he's going to pray for them. Who cares? I wouldn't want Rod Parsley praying for me. No, there's no way. Don't pray for me, Rod Parsley. No, I don't want you praying for me. I can pray for myself. I can save my $100 and my $1,000. And why should I send it to you so you could pray for me? This is how ridiculous it is. I can't believe that it's the year 2016. It's the year 2016. And everybody in this country has a Bible, right? Everybody has a Bible. And yet this stuff is still going on. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I can't. It's beyond me. But anyway, we're going to listen to Rod here. And really, I mean, Rod, it is pitiful. It is so pitiful, this man. And he just never stops lying. He never stops lying. He gets on television with Steve Muncy. I mean, here's Steve Muncy is another one who his house was foreclosed. I think his church building was on the verge of foreclosure, and I mean, he had some serious financial problems going on. So all the conning that he has done and promising you the world if you give money, it didn't work. It didn't work for Steve Muncy. So, and I guarantee you, as time goes on here within the next few months, it's not going to work for Rod Parsley either. It is not going to work. It's going to be a sad day for Rod Parsley and God has been very merciful to Rod and has withheld his judgment from Rod, but it's going to be a very sad, sad day. Judgment finally comes over there. So, Rod, the Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. And God has been merciful to you, and he has given you time to repent of your blasphemy. He has given you time to repent. So repent. And here's some audio from Rod this past week on his breakthrough.
It's being recovered in the name of Jesus. Amen. Here's what Pastor Parsley has to share with you this morning. Good morning, greatest church family in the world. World Harvest Church.
That wasn't the one I wanted. Let me play this one. Here's Rod Parsley with Steve Muncie.
Blessings on your family, miracles in your body, a double portion, a restoration. I'm talking to somebody. You're getting ready to get a raise and an inheritance you know nothing about. If you will listen, this is exactly what God is getting ready to do in your life. You say, what do I do? God said, I want you to take your hands and I want you to stand before me with an offering. I want it to be the feast offering. I want it to be the atonement offering. I need you right now, listen closely, because this is the year of Jubilee. This is an incredible moment. What God is saying, this is what you need to do. You take your right hand right now, and I pray it in the name of Jesus, your right hand. You place the offering there. You take your left hand and you say, I place an offering there. And I am into what I feel right now in the spirit. It's a double portion coming on you, but there's $100 in the right hand, $100 in the left hand. You stand before God, and I want you right now, as I am talking live on Breakthrough with our person, I want you at this moment, I want you to come before the television set, the computer, wherever you're watching me on, and I want you to stand up, if you're able to, if not, then sit there and say these words. I will stand before the Lord with the atonement offering of 2016 year Jubilee. I will stand. Say that right now. I will do this and stand with the offering. For the Bible says, do not stand empty-handed. If you do that, just reach out. Can you reach your right hand? You reach your left hand. Make that commitment to the television set, and we get in agreement. Look to the heavens and say, Lord, here it is. Now, let me tell you what you got to do. I want you to go to the phone, and I want you to tell the Breakthrough Partners. It's on its way. I want you, some of you, to reach in to get the credit card and say, I'm not waiting. I want it on the altar or the Day of Atonement. And pull the credit card and take your phone and say, I'm giving you a number. You can trust the Breakthrough Ministry here, because they're not going to do anything with that information that would hurt you. Listen closely to this. You will get an envelope. You will get a pen. And you will write down the address. I am speaking directly to you on purpose. And you and I have been brought together at such a time as this. Because the season of atonement is upon us. And if you will stand before the Lord, God is getting ready to give you back double everything the enemy has stolen from you.
What revelation.
Thank you. Thank you. It's amazing to me that God has graced us to be alive at this moment.
At this moment.
A Jubilee year on the heels of a tetrad, four red blood moons in a row in the heavens, at a time where God says, I'm going to do one of two things. I'm going to send my son in the rapture of the church, or I'm going to release to you a double portion anointing. God graced you to be right there right now. Dr. Muncie and I, to be right here right now to agree with you. A three-strand cord is not easily broken. This is the time. This is the moment. God has set before us life and death, blessing and cursing, and he says, choose. And then he cheerleads us. He says, choose life.
Right.
Well, that's not abundant life. sufficient in quantity, but superior in quality. Oh, I sense the anointing of God right now in this season. Give me my voice back after the devil tried to take it with cancer. Oh, did you hear that blessing that's coming on you? Physical healing coming to you right now as you obey God's command. That will catapult you into your miracle. God's miracle always manifests by what he does when you obey. But delay will put you away from this moment. God's a God of season, of cycles, a God of moments. Jesus came at the appointed time.
This guy has no shame. He has no shame, this man. He is a reprobate. Despicable people. Just despicable. The worst. The worst of the worst of the worst are these people that take the name of Jesus and they blaspheme the Lord Jesus Christ. They manipulate for their own gain. The Bible calls them greedy dogs, and that's what they act like. That's what they act like. And you can read in, let's look at Isaiah. Isaiah 1. I'm going to start reading at verse 11. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations, incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. How is the faithful city become an harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. The princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Even one loveth gifts and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them. Therefore, saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will ease me of mine adversaries and avenge me of my enemies. Oh, boy. No, God doesn't have any holy days. God doesn't have any holy days. It's ridiculous, these ridiculous people. That's why the Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And we are hoping and praying that more people come out of this abominable religious system that they've yoked themselves to, because it's it's a form of Catholicism, really. This miracle selling and having to pay God off and to get God to do things for you. Don't you hate it? I mean, don't you just hate it when somebody wants to give you a gift and then they give you a gift and they want it back, or or there's strings attached to a gift? God gave us a gift. He gave us a gift of his only begotten son, a free gift. The free, there's one thing for sure that's free, and that's salvation. And there's another thing, too. We can pray and we can ask God to help us and to meet our needs. We don't have to give him any money. We give money to each other. Nobody gives money to God because there's no bank in heaven. God doesn't need any money to do anything that he needs to get done on the earth. We need money. We need money. So when we give money to each other. We give gifts to each other if we want to. And we do our charity as the Lord directs us, but we don't do it because we expect something in return. Who likes that? Nobody likes that. I don't like that. In fact, if somebody wants to give me a gift and there are strings attached, I don't want the gift. I don't want the gift. So, and God doesn't want the gift, and he doesn't give gifts with strings attached. He wants us to obey his word, to be a good testimony to people while we're on this earth to the best of our abilities, because we realize that we all have issues that we're trying to work out. And so God likes repentance. He likes repentance. He likes brokenness. He likes us to be humble. And that's, we can get points with God like that. But not just giving him money and then we get points with God because he sees, oh, and they tell you, God sees your heart. Yeah, he sees your wicked, evil heart. Yeah, that's what he sees when you only give money because you want something back. Yeah, he sees all that. That's for sure. Let's play another clip here.
Dr. Oral Roberts put his hand on my knee and said, Rod, you're a carrier of seed faith revelation. And because of that, I want you to understand, you are not giving out of necessity. This is one of three commanded offerings in the Bible for you to bring every year. This is not your tithe. This is not your normal offering. This, and I can tell you, I wish I had time to tell you, there won't be another day of atonement like this one in the earth in your lifetime.
Jesus has already paid the price for your redemption. You can't earn it. You can only honor it. On October 12th, the upcoming Day of Atonement and God's holiest day of the year, he commands us to come before him and not to come empty-handed. Honor God and respond now with your very best atonement seed. And get ready for the release of seven promised anointings and the blessings of Jubilee. Call toll-free, write, or click on rodparsley.com. But don't miss the October 12th deadline. As you sow your very best atonement seed, you'll receive a beautiful custom-made replica commissioned by Dr. Parsley of the brazen altar in Moses' wilderness tabernacle. Each side inscribed with Jesus' atoning sacrifice from Isaiah 53:5. Displayed in your home or office, this is a beautiful keepsake of Jesus' sacrificial offering for you. In addition, we'll include Dr. Parsley's rich prophetic journey, A Walk Through the Tabernacle, Behold His Glory on DVD. As you sow your atonement seed to honor God of $100 or more, in addition to these gifts, you'll receive a genuine parchment scroll placed in a velvet sleeve. When you sow a very special atonement seed of $1,000 or more, your name or the name of a loved one will be permanently memorialized on a Jubilee stone at the beautiful Calvary Memorial on Breakthrough's worldwide campus. And you'll receive the deluxe parchment scroll in an authentic leather jacket, how the ancient Israelites would have carried their most treasured scrolls. And the large parchment is an outprint of one of the Old Testament's most beautiful passages, bearing witness to the coming and suffering of our Savior, Jesus Christ. You will be immeasurably blessed by the scriptural work of art. Honor God with your atonement seed today. In the final days of this Jubilee year on God's calendar, your once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to release the Anointings of the Atonement and Jubilee. Don't miss it. Write, call, or sow securely at rodpresley.com.
Already called with a double portion atonement seed. They've sown their seed in faith, in expectancy. For some, that seed may be $50. For you, it might be $100. For someone else, maybe you, it could be a seed of a much greater amount. The amount is not what's significant. What is significant is that we honor God's word on this particular day to bring our faith seed to Him and open the door for Him to tabernacle, meet with, encourage, heal, bless every one of us. Let me encourage you to express your faith in God to do as He promised by placing a $50 seed in each hand and sowing a double portion atonement seed today of $100. It will stretch some of your faith, but how glorious it will be when God meets you in His presence in a way you've never experienced before. In your Bible, this was a season of the most extravagant offerings of the entire year. Now, if God, by the Holy Spirit, is speaking to you to sow a greater amount, hear His voice and respond in faith, and God has promised to bless you in response. As you sow your very best atonement seed, I want to commemorate your obedience to God's command by sending you a custom-made, beautiful, keepsake replica of the brazen altar in Moses' tabernacle, inscribed on each side with the four phrases from Isaiah 53 of Jesus' atoning sacrifice at the cross. Wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquities, the chastisement of your peace laid upon Him, and by His stripes you are healed. Oh, what a memorial. It will be a memorial for you, for your family, that you'll treasure for years to come. I also want to include my brand new Walk Through the Tabernacle, Behold His Glory DVD, where I take you through a life-size...
Notice, Rod, he says, God is speaking to you. No, Rod, no, God is not speaking. You are speaking, because God doesn't talk like that. He doesn't say, Susan, put $50 in your right hand, put $50 in your left hand, stand before the TV. They're looking at Rod. And then send it to Rod, and as you send it to Rod, then I'm gonna make all your dreams come true. Anyway, if you look up the word willingly, and you'll see that they did give free will offerings in the Old Testament, Ezra 7:16, and all the silver and gold that thou canst find in all the province of Babylon with the free will offering of the people and of the priests, offering willingly for the house of their God, which is in Jerusalem. Ezra 3:5, and afterward offered the continual burnt offering, both of the new moons and of all the set feasts of the Lord that were consecrated, and everyone that willingly offered a free will offering unto the Lord. 2 Chronicles 35:8, and his princes gave willingly unto the people. Willingly. Nobody was standing there on the TV and manipulating people. He calls, you know, Dr. Parsley. What's he, the doctor of voodoo? That's what I think. He's the doctor of voodoo. 1 Chronicles 29:17. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hath pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto you. We give from a willing heart. 1 Chronicles 29:9, then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. I like that. Don't you like those scriptures? Yes, I like that. A lot better than the give to get gospel. I like it a lot better than the give to get gospel. But you can look up those scriptures of free will, especially in the Old Testament, the free will offerings that they took to build. They were building a temple somewhere. I can't remember where right now. But they brought their offerings willingly. There was no such thing as tithing money to support the church. People brought things willingly, and that's the way we're. It should be even better in the New Testament, since we have a Savior, hallelujah, and we can pray and make our petitions known unto God, and God answers our prayers because He loves us. He willingly gave His Son for us. And those of us that have been born again, maybe some of my listeners haven't been born again, so you don't know of the joy and the peace that God can give you. Of course, all of us go through our trials in life, and there's testings in life. We have to live every day as it comes to us, and but we know that we can get through the things that we have to go through in life, knowing the Lord. But I can testify to this, that the 15 years that I spent in the Word of Faith movement and believing the prosperity gospel, which I left in 1997, now I'm almost out of it for 19 years, so thank you, Jesus. But I have not tithed since 1997 or sowed any financial seeds for blessings or anything like that. But I had more financial problems when I was doing all those things, and I was being totally disobedient following the give to get gospel, that if I gave my 10% and I gave my seeds, that God then was required to bless me. And we were always blaming the devil for our debts. If we had debts, it was always the devil's fault. It wasn't our fault that we were overspending, or we were buying things we couldn't afford, or we were living by faith and we couldn't pay our bills, you know. That was a big one. Oh, we had so many people that I knew like that, where we would we wouldn't work secular jobs. We only wanted to work in the ministry. And then when God wasn't paying our bills, you know, we would be blaming the devil. But of course, if we weren't making it, earning a living in the ministry, well, then maybe hint, hint, you know, you have to go do something else to pay your bills. So I saw so many people crash and burn like that, and go into deep debt. But a lot of the ministries do that today, or the so-called ministries. They go into deep debt to promote themselves and to make themselves look successful. They go on television. They spend enormous amounts of money to appear successful on TV. And in the meantime, they're millions of dollars in debt, and they're hoping that eventually they can catch up as they become more famous. But usually, like anything else in life, you reach a peak, and you reach a peak in ministry where you have success, and then all of a sudden you go down. It's just like in the secular world, for instance, in Hollywood, they have about 2 years where they'll last in Hollywood. Some last longer. But they have a peak where they're earning tremendous amounts of money, and then it starts to go downhill. So There's nothing wrong with trusting God. Of course, we all have to trust God to meet our needs, to give us the right employment, or to give us an idea of a way to make money. Because as long as we're on this earth, we're going to have bills, right? We're going to have bills to pay, and we have to think of ways to pay our bills. And we want to do things with integrity. We want to be able to have a good name with people, to keep our good name. And all of that is very important. But I can be a testament to the fact that it's much better to do things God's way and to reject the seed faith teachings and the prosperity teachings and to earn an honest living, no matter what it is, and to pay our debts and to quit blaming the devil. Like, the devil's so busy. Like, he's so busy robbing people's bank accounts. And you can go into most churches today and take a survey and ask the people, how many of you people in here that have been tithing for 5 years or 10 years or 20 years are out of debt? You probably find one or two people in the building that are completely out of debt. Their mortgage is paid, their car payment is paid, and all their bills are paid. You'll find very few people that can tell you that they're out of debt. Even with all the tithing and all the giving and all the promises that the pastor has made to them and the prosperity teachers have made to them. The only way you really can pay your debts is to work and to have a good job and to make enough money to pay your bills doing something. Because usually, I don't know of any place where money falls out of the sky. If you know of a place like that, please tell me about it, because I'd like to go there. But, you know, unless you were born into a wealthy family, like you were born a Rockefeller, or you were born an Astor, or you have inherited wealth. Some people have inherited wealth, but most of us have had to figure out a way to earn a living, you know, to get by. And we didn't come from wealthy families. So, but God will help you. God will help you. He really will. He will see you through. He is our Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. And I have seen the provision of the Lord. I thank him for his provision. I thank him for his mercies to me. And for helping me to pay my bills and to do what's right in his eyes. I thank him for his wisdom to me. And, you know, it's much better to be able to go to sleep at night and to lay your head on your pillow and have peace and to know that you have not robbed anybody. Imagine the torment that these people go through when they try to fall asleep at night. That's why many of these people wind up alcoholics, or they wind up having to take drugs, or they wind up in adultery or homosexuality or something like that, because they have no peace. And lust is never satisfied. And when you have a lust for money and greed becomes your god, you have no peace. But I can say that I can sleep at night because I have not robbed anybody. And so I want peace. They have no peace. They have no peace. The only way that they'll have peace is if they repent and stop this foolishness. And we pray that they repent. We pray that they repent and stop blaspheming the name of Jesus. So we want to do whatever we can do to reach out to people and to try to help them to untangle the mess that's in their mind. Because when you're messed up, now it took me a long time after I came out of seed faith and tithing and all that. It took me a long time to stop thinking like that. And because I used to think that when I had a need, I had to sow a seed. So I used to give things away and think I was going to get more back. You know, you give a car away, you get a better car. That's what we were taught. You give a house away, you get a better house. You empty your bank account, you get a full bank account. That's how people were taught. I don't know how much they teach that now so much, but anyway, that's not the motive behind our giving. So it took a while for me to come out of all that and to stop thinking like that, and I had to restrain myself. So if I wanted to give something, I had to retrain my mind to think, okay, I'm giving this because I want to, because I love this person and I want to be a blessing. I don't care that they know I'm giving it to them. God knows what I'm doing, so I'd rather give my alms in secret, and God will reward me openly. So it takes time for people to come out of these things. And then, of course, once you stop tithing, I had to go through this whole withdrawal thing because I was so afraid at first that that God wasn't going to bless me because I wasn't tithing anymore, and that somehow I was disrespecting God because those teachings were so ingrained in me. It took a long time for me to get over my fears and to really learn how to trust God to meet my needs. That is much better. It's a much better way to live, is to live with trusting God every day to meet our needs. And he said he would. He said to take no thought about tomorrow, what's going to happen. And so I like this life a lot better. I really do. I like this life a lot better because I'm free. I owe no man anything. And I can be a Christian in the true sense of being a Christian, because the Bible says it is more blessed to give than to receive, and that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so that's the way real Christianity is. So we hope to have a revolution, to see a revolution and to finish the Reformation before Jesus comes back for a glorious church. And that is our aim here at Prophetic News. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. And remember, the most important thing today is, are you born again? Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? Have you asked him to forgive you of your sins? Because he said he would give you a brand new life, and I can attest to that. He gave me a brand new life, a life of peace and joy. Read the third chapter of John today, where Jesus himself said, "Ye must be born again. First you're born of your mother, then you must be born again of the Spirit of God." And then read the book of Romans. The book of Romans says, "Confession is made with the mouth unto salvation." Believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, that he died on the cross, that he rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven. And he is alive. He is a real person. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he said that he was coming again. So no matter what's going on in the world, Jesus Christ said he's coming again, and we have a great hope. So give your life to Jesus today. You'll never be sorry that you did it. I have never regretted, and I would never go back to my old life ever again. I love being a Christian. And I love knowing Jesus Christ, and you can know him too. God bless you. Come back again next week. Thanks, everybody in the chat room and everybody that tuned in today. God bless you.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. City that's set on a I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.